Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here this morning on this Saturday. Of course, February is Black History Month, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning and get some differing views on it from some young folks here from Carl Sandburg College joining us here this morning. First off, Desiree Matthews. Desiree, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in with us. Also, Dakota Williams. Dakota, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. And Devin McIntosh. Devin, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Very good. Of course, your mentor over here, Anthony Law, he's off mic right now. He's taking pictures. Well, we may talk with Anthony, but Anthony, good morning anyway.
Good morning, sir.
Thanks for coming in here this morning. All right. So let's talk first off. All of you have been involved in programs at Carl Sandburg College and different issues and different things that you talk about. And let me start with you, Desiree, just with Black History Month, just kind of the meaning to you. I know, you know, as people in the United States, it was a long time coming that, you know, that the accomplishments of African Americans in our society really has not been, I guess, profiled in a lot of ways. And there's so many things like, okay, growing up, for instance, with me, yeah, we learned about George Washington Carver and everything he did with a peanut, but there's way more than that, so much more that I think we're continually learning about things and the impact that Black Americans had in the United States and the growth of this country.
Overall, I think African American history, it defines itself throughout each race, I believe. To Caucasians, it might be, oh, these just historic people. To African Americans, it could be, is as if, wow, they actually did make history. So along the lines, I personally think African American history should be acknowledged as an accomplishment rather than hardships. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's true. I mean, yeah, yeah. Obviously, yeah, there was hardships, but the accomplishments through those mm-hmm. hardships is what's really kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Dakota? Talk a little about kind of what the Black History Month means to you, and kind of your opinion of the celebration of what African Americans have done here in the United States.
Yeah, I think it's important because, you know, there's the 12 months of the year, even going back to when I was in school, they would only teach about anything pertaining to Black history for short periods of time. And they would hit on slavery. They'd hit on Rosa Parks, MLK, and that would be about it. But there are so many more leaders and role models, historians and big moments in history that have not been touched on in the common education. So I think it's important that at least for a month, we have a dedicated time to focus on those that really don't get heard from a lot.
Well, and Devin, as Dakota kind of touched on, whether it's Rosa Parks or Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman or you know, people like that, that's pretty much what, you know, you sit in a history class in school and in your elementary and high school education, junior high, those are the things you learn about. But there's so much more, so many inventors and innovators and things like that, that it's like, okay, these things need to be taught in history as well. Those are the kind of things we're wanting to focus on at least this month, which hopefully it'll be year round.
Yes, I totally agree. And just to backpack on what Dakota said, growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, in a minority majority area, I still don't have recollection, like he said, of any of the teachings of any type of Black history outside of February. So that's why I feel like it's so important for the youth and for a nation like to embrace that, to show the kids or show the people like, yo, like your entire history, it wasn't full of drug dealers and slaves and athletes and pro ball players. Like there was inventors and teachers and people who made direct impacts into like society.
Well, because, and you mentioned like for instance with professional sports, well, it was a long time coming before in some of those professional sports that there were even Black athletes that were allowed.
Yes.
College or professional. That's definitely the case. Well, and then also interesting perspective for you growing up in Memphis, of course, obviously that was where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered or assassinated. So again, one of the things we learn about, but okay, well, what about everything else? There's other, you know, I'm sure there's probably some other Memphians other than that. Obviously the music scene was big. There was probably other Memphians as well that did things that it's like, okay, well, where's that in the history books?
Yes, I guess. Exactly.
Yeah. Talking with some Carl Sandburg College students here this morning, Desiree Matthews, Devin McIntosh, Dakota Williams. This is Black History Month, the month of February. And I, what would, for you, Desiree, would the hope be that someday that you don't need a Black History Month, that it's all, hey, we're learning about everybody in history? Or would you like to see, it's like, okay, yeah, we're all learning about it, but we would still like to have that time for maybe some recognition that we had not gotten in the past?
No, I still believe that it should be a Black History Month. Maybe it should go over, if it can go from a week to a month, I think it can go year-round. Each and every day is a different new story about African-American making history.
Absolutely.
So I do believe it should be coming year-round. I do work up at the schools up here, and I talk to each new generation. They don't even know it's Black History Month. All they know is that it's Valentine's Day. I mean, Valentine's Day is within this month. So it definitely needs to be spoken about way more than it is now. So with the month, it's good, but I do believe it should be year-round for sure.
Yeah, and obviously, and then things, the things that are being taught, obviously, I think still need to be taught, whether, you know, about whether slavery or Dr. Mm-hmm. King or some of the people we mentioned, Dakota. But still, there, again, as we said, there's so much more. But you don't want to take away. We still need to know that other history. And, you know, because if you don't know it, those kind of things can be repeated.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So talk Dakota, a little bit more about, as far as, I guess, you know, again, the hope would be somewhat that it's like, hey, if we get this to where it's just part of history and part of our culture, that'll go a long way in you know, whether it's healing racial tensions or just because I think a lot of it, lack of knowledge is part of it. And there, and when it comes to Black history, there's obviously a lot of lack of knowledge because it's not being taught.
I think that really with any sort of history month, any sort of month about culture or pride or anything like that comes with the fact that we don't acknowledge it on a day-to-day basis. So once we start to get to the point of acknowledging things on a day-to-day basis, I go back to the school system because to me that is really the grounding foundation of Black History Month. Outside of school, you don't really – you see it on TV. You see some people are highlighted every once in a while depending on what stations you watch. But in school – it becomes this, all right, we're going to pack every Black person into this one month and cover them short periods, not really in depth. And like you were saying, without acknowledging what happened in the past, you're unaware of what's happening now. For example, the Judas and the Black Messiah, recently released about the Black Panther Party in Chicago and Fred Hampton, and how there's so much in that movie alone that isn't described outside of in common knowledge. A lot of people don't know about Fred Hampton. A lot of people have misconceptions about the Black Panther Party. And through that movie, you see that but a lot of sides that aren't normally highlighted when spoken about it. So I think that through media, especially, and going back to the school systems, once we make this a very common thing that doesn't just happen, you know, one time a year, we can kind of move past getting months for just culture.
Well, and in some ways, it's kind of sad. You mentioned the movie, which is what has only been out, what, just a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
That you have to get that information from a movie, you know, it's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dakota Williams, also Devin McIntosh joining us here this morning. Devin, talk a little bit more about what they touched on. And you know, growing up in Memphis in the school system there, I'm guessing it was not any different when you sat in history class. You probably learned the curriculum was probably not a whole lot different. The same things throughout history. We learned about Revolutionary War and the start of the country, and then we had slavery, then we had the Civil War, and that, was that kind of the way it was?
Yeah, exactly. It was there was no like real importance or any effort preached upon like teaching about the other side of history other than the white side. You know, it's hard for kids to wake up every day. You look at a TV, you see it, your kind or your people portrayed one way, and then you go to history class and you don't even hear about them. Like you said, you don't hear about black inventors or black politicians or black historians until February. And after February, it's gone. You won't get it till next February. So like you said, and the question you asked Desiree, hopefully I feel like that would be the goal, is after enough acknowledgement, after enough awareness to that, where we wouldn't need a Black History Month. Because like you said, with racial tension, I feel like any time that you single out a certain group, you're open up to get animosity from another group. So if we can just get to a point where we learn about all of history, not just the one side or not just the oppressors, like we learn about all of it, I feel like that's when we wouldn't need months. Like Dakota said, it would just be common knowledge. Like,
well, you touched on a really good point there, in that, you know, there are people that will say, well, why is there a Black History Month? Why is there not a White History Month? Well, if you look at the other 11 months, guess what we're talking about? You know, you're right. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And so, yeah, there's that animosity, but I think you're right that if it is equal and we're talking about history, and it's not Black history or White history, it's American history. It's just history.
Yes.
It's history. And that's, I think that's where we need to get. So then, like you said, you know, you can't have people single out. So, well, why do they have that special month? It's like, well, I wouldn't necessarily call it special. It's just
acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. Yes, that's what I was going to say. Recognition, but acknowledgement. That's a better word for it. That was a great point. This is Galesburg Live, just about 8:30 here on this Saturday morning. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Black History Month and some things related to that with our students from Carl Sandburg College, Desiree Matthews, Devin McIntosh, Dakota Williams joining us here this morning. We talk a little bit with Anthony Law, the coordinator of diversity and inclusion at Carl Sandburg College as well. It is time right now for a news update.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Thanks for being with us here this morning. Galesburg Live. February is Black History Month. Hey, we'd like that to go away, but not for the reason you might think. We would like it to be just year-round, just be history, United States history. Talking with some Carl Sandburg College students, Desiree Matthews, Devin McIntosh, Dakota Williams, also Anthony Law, the coordinator of diversity and inclusion at Carl Sandburg College. And Anthony, we were just talking off the air about an article that was in the Peoria Journal Star earlier this week. And this is a prime example that even here in Illinois, a few miles from Peoria, there was a young lady by the name of, what was her name, Nance Liggins Cosley,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Who was so far ahead of her time. She was the first slave legally freed, and Abraham Lincoln is the one that helped her out. And just, it's an incredible story. And the article, basically what the article was getting at, is she should be revered and in the same sentence as Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass. But this is just typical of what's going on. And you had mentioned also talking about, yeah, we know a little bit about it here, but you kind of have to search and study like the history of the Underground Railroad here in Galesburg, mm-hmm. and in Knoxville.
Yeah, the surprising thing is when you do the research, you find out the historical value as far as African Americans are concerned and the history of in Galesburg, in Knoxville, as far as the Underground Railroad, as far as Allen Chapel AME Church, as far as Knox College. There's a lot of history that is within a stone's throw that we're also not talked about or told about as growing up. You know, I didn't attend schools in Galesburg, but I have talked to a lot of people, even my age or younger, and they have no idea of the rich history that Galesburg has, not only with African Americans, but just in general. But since it is African American History Month, we're kind of putting an emphasis on that. And I was thinking about some of the things you were saying, and it was hard for me to bite my tongue, but one of the things, the questions you asked the students, and I thought it was a great question about the need for Black History Month. There are a lot of months that celebrate different subcultures of our country, simply because they've been overlooked in the past. In a perfect world, I would love to not have to celebrate anymore first, because there are no more to celebrate. I would love to be able to say, 12 months of a year, let's celebrate and educate everything that has happened to make this country great. But the reality is that in the history of the contributions of African Americans, next month is Women's History Month. The history of the contributions of women, September 15th through October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month. The history of the contribution of Hispanic, Latino people to this country has been historically overlooked or minimized. And it's now we're at a point where we want to acknowledge, we want to celebrate, and anyone who feels threatened by the fact that this month is dedicated to awareness, or anybody that feels like there's some people that have talked about it. Well, why is Black History Month in February, the shortest month of the year? Well, the reality is Carter Woodson had a week. It was Negro History Week, and it was tied into the celebration of Abraham Lincoln. Then Jimmy Carter made it into a month because a week was not enough. The fact is, just because there's a month dedicated does not exclude you from continuing to educate yourself and from the schools to continue to educate. Now, I'm not going to put it all in the schools. I never do, because they've got a lot that they've got to take care of. And they got a lot of to teach our kids to be successful. You know, education, true education starts at home. It starts as an individual. What do you, maybe February can be a catalyst to you saying, okay, I didn't know this. Like we shared about the story about the woman from Peoria. Me being a consummate student, I'm going to go home and study that. I want to know more so that I can share that with other people. That's what we have to challenge each other to do. Okay. It's not a threat. It's not to be viewed as something negative. It is the reality is the contributions of each of the subgroups that we share made us who we are, made this country what it is, and as a society what it is. And there are so many firsts this year with African Americans, with women, it's just a wonderful year for first. It's a wonderful year to look in to say, okay, if this was the first in this, what other first can I find out about? And then more importantly, if it motivates somebody to be the second and the third and the fourth until there are no more firsts, that's what my goal is.
Yeah.
I want my students to see first so that they know that now if somebody else did it, I can too.
So you see that there's no limitation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, this is a joke. I can't remember if it was Chris Rock or somebody saying, well, even with Black History Month, they gave us the shortest month, only 28 days, and 29 every 4 years. You've got stuck to you on that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So that was like, the running joke, and I get it. I get it. It is the shortest month.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if you start on February 1st and you stop at the 28th or 29th on the leap year, that's your fault.
Exactly.
Your fault.
Yeah. Anthony Law, Carl Sandburg College. We've also got Desiree Matthews, Dakota Williams, and Devin McIntosh. Well, listen, Desiree, let me come back to you. Let's talk a little bit about curriculum. And as Anthony said, you can't put it all in the schools. It's kind of hard. And especially when you're looking at K through 12, yes, there are a lot more things that should be added in, but you also have a kind of a condensed time. So I think it's easier at the secondary level at colleges and whether it's Black history courses or whatever. Do you feel like you see enough of that when you look at college curriculum?
That's a good question. I don't see it as much within the college curriculum either, to be honest. When I was at Carl Sandburg, I graduated. When I was at Carl Sandburg, we wasn't really talking about it as much, like throughout each class and throughout the teacher, but it took for our organizations to step up and actually make awareness, because I don't want it to make it seem like, make it known, I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, no, I understand, yeah.
To actually make it known. So within the college curriculum, no, I haven't witnessed it at all.
Yeah, and I know, and I understand there would be a lot to do because you can't just say, okay, well, here's a Black history course. Well, then what do you teach? I think there's got to be, as Anthony mentioned, subcultures within the subculture. We have, you know, Black history about this or that or whatever. And you can, again, you say that whether it's a women's or Hispanic history. Dakota, what is it that you would like to see as far as curriculum, especially at the secondary level? I mean, I, again, it needs to be taught, again, K through 12, but it's a little bit harder and it needs to be expanded. But how about at the secondary level? What would you like to see more of?
So I went to, after Sandburg, I went to St. Olaf in Minnesota, liberal arts college. So we had a lot of requirements in order just to graduate. But among those requirements, there was history requirements. However, there wasn't like a cultural education requirement. And personally, I think that if you're going to a liberal arts college, they should push you to know more than just your own culture. I was able to take quite a few classes. I ended up with a race and ethnic studies degree, but there's no sense of urgency. There's no push for that. So, you know, you can't have it at every college. Not every college is liberal arts, but in the colleges that are, I think there should be a requirement built in to learn about Hispanic heritage, Latinx heritage, Asian American, Native, Black, whatever you have. We have more cultures in America than able to count, but the knowledge about them is very limited. And there has to be a want on both sides, like Anthony Lowe was talking about. There has to be a personal accountability for you to want to reach out and learn those things to be able to understand each other a bit better, know where each other is coming from when you get into conversations about politics, way of life, anything like that. There's no way to really understand each other unless you know where they're coming from.
Within your major, what was the curriculum like? Obviously, it seemed like it lacked some things that you would maybe like to see. What kind of courses were required within your major?
So that major was actually fairly open. It really gave the power to the student to kind of choose its own their own path. But a lot of it, that there had to be 7 or 8 courses that you had to take underneath this umbrella, and you could take any of them. The only required class was the intro to race and ethnic studies, which covered multiple different cultures in one class. Outside of that, take courses about Black history, Latinx, even gender studies. Any of those would count towards the major. And then at the end of it, you'd have to do a capstone involving something that you learn. And of that, you know, it was my year was kind of my capstone was kind of weird because COVID hit. So we didn't really have a presentation as we normally would. But my personal capstone was to focus on the effect of technology in Black communities, or the lack thereof. And you see, like, the intersectionality between poverty and Black communities, just minority communities in general, and how it's not that, you know, these communities aren't too different, even though the cultures aren't entirely the same. The poverty is one of the things that holds people together and really allows people or doesn't allow people to get to certain points in their life because they're not getting the same materials, they're not getting the same education or opportunities as other people are. But that's not something that you see in your normal curriculum.
Devin, how about you? What would you like to see curriculum-wise, especially at the secondary education level?
I mean, if anything, it would just be more curriculum in that area, more classes, activities, more enlightenment of that, the whole topic. Like, to contradict what they've said, I've personally experienced a little bit more enlightenment going through my history classes for my degree. And I would say that it just depends on like college to college and what they offer. And like he said, like liberal arts colleges compared to other colleges and stuff. And I feel like it's just like a more broad curriculum, I feel like, would be the biggest thing. So like they said, we can get an appreciation for all cultures, because until you can sit down and talk to us, to another person face to face, and empty your guts out to them, you cannot understand that person.
Absolutely. That's a great point. All right. It is 8:47. Take a quick break. We'll come back with more. This is Galesburg Live. Good morning. It's Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here this morning talking about Black History Month, the month of February. And the hope is that one day we won't need it anymore, that it'll just be history, all part of American history. Joining us this morning, Desiree Matthews, Devin McIntosh. Dakota Williams had to run. He was busy today. He had to take off. Also, Anthony Law. So we let Dakota off the hook.
Yes, we did.
about somebody in history. So I don't know. I'm looking at both of you. Devin, you look pretty confident. All right, I'll start with you. Let's talk about Black history. I know, and it's you know, I guess you ask anybody if there's that one person in history or one thing that was just such an amazing thing that had such an effect on you know, either life in the United States or you know, that invention or something. Is there a particular person when you look back and at history that you're aware of that's like, well, man, that was one thing that really helped shape our country?
to me, my personal hero for Black History Month would probably be Jackie Robinson. As a sports guy, I live, breathe anything athletic, and I just feel like by him breaking down the color barrier for the MLB, it started the process of accepting each other. It allowed for his teammates to look at him and be like, he's the same as me. So that allowed the fans to look at them and look them all as not a black player among a white team, but as the Dodgers. It's just, I don't know. It's like inexplainable the impact he's had, because it's like everything he did, like all the harsh conditions he went through, all of the racism, all of that, like it's just like, all that he endured just to play the game of baseball. That's how much he loved the game and wanted to make a change, that he endured all of that. And it just, like, I use it as motivation when I'm working out or when I'm tired. It's just like, there was people before me who pushed even harder. So it's,
well, and he knew going in what it was going to be like, yes, too. And he was willing to make that sacrifice. Yes. And like, yep, and I'll do it.
Not many people are stepping up to that plate in those conditions at that time.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? Went back, we talked about this earlier in the week, that the NFL, or I guess predecessor to the NFL, the first African-American was like 1920 or 21. And one of those two guys was also the first black head coach shortly there, like 2 or 3 years later. So the NFL or football was way ahead of the curve on that. Then I think the NBA was about 3 years later. I think it was 1950, mm-hmm, the first black player in the NFL. You know, an interesting sidelight, and it's amazing that it took this long. We were talking about this earlier in the week as a trivia question, that the first African-American athlete that was, African-American full-ride scholarship, basketball scholarship to SMU, was Reuben Triplett, a Galesburg native. And you know, and that's what, 1967, 68. Yep, so that was a long time coming for, mm-hmm, of course, mm-hmm, school in the South and you know, in, mm-hmm, Dallas and that. So interesting. All right, here we go, Desiree, looking back in history. And again, there's just so many, and there's so many different areas, whether it's sports or inventors or those that help with the abolition movement. Just so many different things. Who is it in anybody in particular that stands out to you?
I will say Madam C.J. Walker. She was the first African-American female to be a self-made millionaire based off hair products for African-American women. And the reason why I choose Madam C.J. Walker, because stemming from today's generation, there's a lot of young black females that want to start their own business, from dealing with hair products, going through vendors to have a clothing line, makeup line. Madam C.J. Walker set that example for every African-American female that have dreams. Go for it. You can be the next self-made millionaire.
Yeah, knows? And she's born in 1867, so mm-hmm, not only did it's hard now. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine what she had to endure to get where she got. So you're talking about perseverance. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, that's a great one too. Mm-hmm. All right, Anthony, you know what the heck? I know there's way too many, and I know you told these guys off the air, don't do the obvious ones, and they didn't. So what is there? I mean, there's just so much, and I know it's kind of. I'm not trying to downplay.
No, of course not.
History, but just personally, there's somebody that is like, okay, that person and what they did really touched me in a certain way.
You know, and it's you know, it's funny because it's easy for me. I don't have to look very far. I can simply look across the room and I think of, you know, my students, I love them and I love the things that they've accomplished when they believe in themselves. But for me, it's Desiree Matthews. And it's Desiree Matthews because I know from where Desiree comes. I know that in high school, there were people that didn't believe in her. I know that she faced some challenges that could have very easily caused her to just say, forget it. And I also know that when she came to Carl Sandburg College, she, when we met, she gave me an opportunity to show her who she could be once she stopped believing or listening to anybody else. During her time at Carl Sandburg College, not only did she excel academically, but she became the president of the Black Student Association. While there, she made history. She accomplished things in that role that had never been done before. She was instrumental in getting the Harriet movie here when it wasn't going to come. She took a group of students to see Black Panther. She was very active with students of color and other students as well, but students of color at the schools. She organized and held the first annual Impact Awards, which showcased and highlighted African Americans who had made an impact within the Galesburg community. She did all those things in a year's time. And that is historic and impactful. It may not be on a national level, but in this community, for the people that she showed that once, no matter what anybody says or thinks of you, once you believe in yourself, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. And the beautiful thing about this story is we're in chapter one.
Yeah.
Her future is great and hasn't been written yet. And if she can stay on the same pathway to what she accomplished in a year, if she can stay on that same pathway, somebody, somewhere during February, the 28 days of February, will be reading about Desiree Matthews and her contributions to the African American community and to this country. And that's what I love. Devin is another student who has made an impact by being involved and pushing himself. Devin, once again, didn't start out seeing himself in the same way that he sees himself now, but he's accomplished things and been an impact, an influence. I've seen him at the schools. I've seen the things that he can do when he believes in himself and the examples he leads. And Dakota, you can Google that. I mean, the things that he's done as far as the awareness protests we've had in our community, the things that he's done at Sandburg and beyond, and then came back and made an impact these past summer when he came back. So these are my Black history, American history, Galesburg history heroes,
right?
Because I can see, and like I said, we're in the first chapters.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just a beginning, like you said, an avalanche. Guess what? It started with a snowflake, a snowball, and then there you go. And someday it's an avalanche, and that's what, you know, making history and doing good, whether it's in the community or the country, like you said, that's where it all starts.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, that is great. I mean, are you embarrassed at all?
No. I'm shocked.
I did. No, that was great, though. And you guys, thank you so much for what you're doing in the community and what you do in the future as well. Hopefully we'll be able to get both of you back in and Dakota as well and talk a little bit more. Devin, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank you
it.
For having me.
Desiree, thank you again.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing?
Sure, sure.
Okay. So I just want everybody to know, Black history is not about struggle, not about slavery. Listen, we had our ages. We had the Harlem Renaissance. We created jazz music, rock music. So don't think of it as a sad story. Just think of it as fun and experience that African Americans accomplished and achieved.
That is outstanding. Thank you so much, Desiree. Anthony, as always, thank you so much for what you're doing here in the community and with the students, Black, white, every color, and we do appreciate everything you do as well.
Thank you, sir.